The reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21, and can be found on page 885 of the Bibles. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one was heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native tongue? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and other parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this was what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
And we stand to sing King of Kings, Majesty. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 15, verses 26 to 27, and chapter 16, 4 to 15. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Would you like to sit down, please? So quite often when we talk about the Holy Spirit of God, we're talking about power, power that is flowing. So if you have a remote control for your telly, what's it powered by? Batteries. Obviously, you need a power source. You get a battery inside a mobile phone, but what do you do when it runs out? You charge it up, obviously. And you want to see in a dark place, obviously you need to plug your lamp into a power source. So we can think of the Holy Spirit of God as being something like a power source. It's the breath, or the ruach, as it's often known in the Greek, of God that is flowing. And from breath we get the word, breath comes from pneuma, from which we get pneumatics. So it's all about breathing and moving, and that's the work of the Holy Spirit. So today we celebrate the birth of the church. On the day of Pentecost, over 2,000 years ago, as we heard, it was the time when the Holy Spirit came to the disciples, and through the outpouring of that Holy Spirit, the church was born. So this is a time when the church traditionally concentrates on the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the ways in which that Spirit strengthens the church. It's a time to think about how the Spirit has created faith in our lives. It's a time to explore how the Spirit can shape our witness so that others might have faith through us. And the power of that same Spirit, the power source, of course, ignites the disciples. Peter went on to give a really powerful sermon from all of that. It included the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy, and also a strong rebuke as well. And the effect of that was remarkable, because the message got right through to the hearts of the people. And as a result, more than 3,000 people were baptized, and they became filled with the Holy Spirit. When they returned home, they didn't keep it to themselves. They spread the message, and so the church was born. And that would not have been possible without the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is a person. It's part of the sacred Trinity. The Spirit is about the mind of God. It's about God's emotions and God's will, because the Spirit is God. The Spirit performs the actions of God, and so, of course, it's got the characteristics of God. And so, as a result of that Spirit being poured out, the church opens its hearts to fellowship. It opens its hands to care for every member. People opened their homes to each other, especially for worship. They devoted themselves to prayer, and so the church began to grow. And so Spirit describing wind or breath, unlike a violent wind, this is no wind of destruction. It blows where it wants to go, and it fires up people with faith and with spiritual power. But the church didn't come alive until God had breathed the Holy Spirit in the first place. So that wind was an outward sign of what was happening within the disciples. And the Holy Spirit comes like a rushing wind on the first Pentecost, and it still comes like a rushing wind today. We can't control where the wind is going to blow, nor in the same way can we control the work of the Holy Spirit, no matter how hard we try. We might control what it tells us to do. We might allow the Holy Spirit, if we chose, to control who we would and wouldn't allow into our churches. Many Christians just want enough religion to feel safe and comfortable, but that's not the work of the Holy Spirit. People don't want to be shaken up sometimes so much that their routines and their complete way of life is changed by the action of the Holy Spirit. People sometimes just want the benefits of the Holy Spirit without having to experience too much of it. But differences can enrich and they can enliven our worship experiences. Differences force us to reach across what sets us apart from people. Differences, diversity, these are things that force us to rely on the Holy Spirit in order to remain faithful to the good news of Jesus. We're called to share that good news with others. We're called to welcome people to find love of each other and love for God as well. But if we're not sharing the good news, then of course that good news is going to be wasted. The Holy Spirit calls on us to share our gifts and love with those who are different from us. God gave those first disciples the ability to speak the languages of all those who had gathered in Jerusalem from around the world, the known world at that time. And the Spirit's presence signified their baptism into the spiritual body of the church. So this gift was the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit so that the disciples could preach the gospel to everyone. And God does exactly the same thing today. God speaks through both chosen people and simple people like me and you. The message of being somebody again through God alone is communicated. But why? The message is communicated so that that message can get through to everyone. We're people who have received God's grace and favor, and so we get to be the bridge of communicating again that grace and favor to people we know and love, even to people we don't know and have never loved. So the Spirit blows where it will. Pentecost is the day when we remember the eruption in which the church came to birth. It's also the day when we remember the countless ways in which the Holy Spirit shapes the church and ourselves as individuals. And that first reading from Acts is, if you like, the marching orders for the church. The coming of the Holy Spirit was an awe-inspiring moment that changed the world. It was that pivotal point when history was changed forever. And we have to go with the flow. We don't know where that Spirit is going to flow, where the wind is going to blow. Sometimes that Spirit calls us to step outside of our comfort zones. God's dream was one where all believers would gather together in unity and in faith. And we're still praying, waiting, and working that out to be a reality. But God calls on us to love one another. And that kind of love changes us. That kind of love allows us to show grace to everyone. And the flames that appeared above the disciples represent the purity and the power with which they would speak as they proclaimed what God had done. So the fire of the Holy Spirit burns away everything that keeps us from being the people that God wants us to be. The Spirit convinces us that God loves us without any condition at all. And so therefore, in turn, we can love others completely unconditionally. The Spirit gives us that ability. We're released by the power of the Spirit so that we can praise others. The Spirit frees us from self-concern and spirit consciousness. So we're free to praise God and receive what God is going to do. And that life in Christ is God's will for everyone. And God's plans, however much we try and go against them, cannot be stopped. Pentecost is a taste of what will happen in God's kingdom when the Spirit is poured out on everyone. And that Holy Spirit will live in all believers. So if you like, we're called on today to be pilgrims or wanderers, if you like. We're not meant to get too settled, too rooted, too rigid, too set in our ways. Our spiritual lives are meant to be a pilgrimage, a journey. And the dangerous place is the place where we find ourselves getting too comfortable, feeling too stagnant, just sitting back and thinking that everything is okay. God calls us to be a people who are on the move. Our churches are meant to be on the move as well. Otherwise, that spirit cannot be spread. It becomes contained and confined. So today is the day when we're reminded that we have received the Holy Spirit. And therefore, that spirit requires us, each of us, to take a stand for good against evil in whatever circumstances we find ourselves. The Holy Spirit will teach us to love God and to love one another. And God will reward us for that commitment by giving us a life worth living. That life isn't going to be trouble-free or easy in any kind of way. But that life will be worth living for, but also dying for. And that is the greatest gift of all at Pentecost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.